So, Stephen, as things unfold, you're watching them on real time. What do you see there? What's going on?
Well, the people are gathering, but George, that was very emotional for me to hear William on the phone. That was tremendous. You could feel the energy in his voice of how he's connecting with the Egyptian people. My heart is really with them right now. There are tremendous crowds gathering in what is known as Tahrir Square, which is Liberation Square, which is not far from the museum. But I'm seeing, as far as the camera can show, the people are gathering. So they're going to gather there in force. And as you said, George, you said, how are they organizing this? Well, again, this actually started out from some bloggers. The internet has played a key role in
Powerful, this. Powerful, isn't it?
Amazing. The whole thing that you're involved with, the whole industry now of technology media. Tunisia, as your previous guest said, the doctor was so right on. They looked at what happened in Tunisia. It started with bloggers. It was not a political, not a religious movement. They started blogging. They started talking on cell phones. Now, to show you how inept Mubarak, some of his moves have been, he tried to totally black out Egypt, cut off the internet. There was only one ISP provider that was let to go. It's called Nur, which very interesting in Egyptian Arabic means light. It was let it survive because it was controlling the stock market. And interestingly enough, the American University in Cairo was using this ISP address. So there was limited.
Well, he was out of touch with people, Stephen. You know, and that, you know, that's the bottom line. Whenever a government has to clip the internet.
Now it's totally cut down, totally cut off, no internet access. But he allowed for the last 3 days the mobile phones to go back up. So they continually connect with each other through mobile phones. It's well organized. Just listening to some of the young Egyptians on the street talking to Algeria, they said now the internet is now irrelevant to them. It's already organized, word of mouth. They're going back to how they've done for thousands of years, how they communicate from village to village, street to street, block to block. So they no longer need their cell phones. Mobile services down. Landlines are down. It was great that William was able to call in because most service is down in Egypt. But it doesn't matter anymore. The word is out. The people are gathering. All groups are gathering together. Religious groups, Coptic Christian groups, Muslim groups, political groups, students, women. The women. There's been people posting on Facebook these incredible images of the women of Egypt. And I hope, George, that there will be even a woman president of Egypt. Maybe not now, but soon. Maybe vice president now. The women in Egypt are the most educated, most liberal Muslim women in the world. They will not stand for Sharia law. They will not stand for going back to 2,000 to 1,300 years ago when Islam started in the caliphates. They're not going to go back. They want to go forward. It's exactly what you said, what you felt from Williams. This is the future. This is critical for the whole world. We are witnessing history. It is history. Egypt has never experienced it before. We have the potential for a true, full, representative coalition government, representative democracy in the land of Egypt. And that is what they want. That is what the people want. They want to have their grievances addressed. There is enormous wealth in Egypt, enormous wealth. Most of it is going out of the country, not staying in the country. It needs to be among the people. There's no need for food shortages in Egypt. They can grow anything, everything. They can provide food for the rest of the Middle East. They can provide fresh water for the rest of the Middle East. They can provide minerals. This is a
you know what I found, country. Stephen, what I found fascinating watching this protest unfold, and it's getting bigger today, as you well know.
Yes.
To think of, you know, the Egyptian pyramids and the Sphinx and the Cleopatra, and all this is going down on that land right now.
Yes.
And I find that to be just so surreal, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And believe me, the people have that sense of that connection, of their history. Whether we could argue or not whether the Arabs in Egypt today are the people that built the pyramids or not, that's irrelevant. The people there do feel that. They are proud of the fact that they call themselves the cradle of civilization. They are proud of the fact that the pyramids are there. So they're not going to let the extremists tear down the pyramids or destroy the Sphinx. It's not going to happen. There's always extremists. There's always, again, I always tell people that the percentage of people in Egypt are 1/10 of 1% who are violent extremists. 0.1%. The overwhelming percentage of Egyptian people are moderate Sunni Muslims. They are not radical Shiites like was in Iran. It's not going to be the same like Iran, but we are very thin line. We let Iran happen because, as you know, as many guests have come on your program and said, there was a democratic election in the Middle East. It was in 1952 in Iran where they elected Mossadegh, and Mossadegh was a moderate. He was not an extremist. He did not want to have an Islamic state.
It was the Shah that got rid of him, right?
No, well, we got rid of him, George, because he had Soviet leanings. He was not a communist. Again, I'm talking about the first 40 years after World War II. The boogeyman was the commies, was the Reds, were the Russians, were the Chinese. They were the enemies of America through all our policies. So Mossadegh had leanings toward the Soviets, meaning he wanted to play both sides against the middle, just like Nasser did. Nasser played the Soviets, he played the Americans. He got the Soviets to build a high dam for him, but he got our aid because he promised he wouldn't go communist. Well, Mossadegh was leaning toward the Soviets. The CIA initiated a coup, knocked him out of power, brought the Shah in, who was the most corrupt, brutal dictator Iran has ever seen since the days of ancient Persia. And they hated us for that, George. That is why they brought in the Ayatollah Khomeini, and they allowed a Shiite, the Imams, right, to take over Iran.
But that's going to change.
Dropped the ball.
That's going to change, I think.